Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river do we recreate ourselves. What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Shar and Trev, who came up with this idea. Today's V-Wave podcast is with Shelley Martin. And Shelley has just finished a Grand Canyon River trip, and we will be asking her some questions about that. Hello, Shelley. Welcome to V-Wave. How are you today?
Hi, Tom. I'm good, thank you.
Super. Shelley, would you mind to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into river running?
Sure. I am an archaeologist.
Okay.
So I'll get that out of the way. I have lived in the Rocky Mountain region pretty much since I was 4 years old. And I got into rivers probably in the early 90s.
Okay.
My ex got me into a hardshell kayak and taught me how to roll and kind of went from there. We had a cataract, and that was really the first rowing that I ever did.
Okay.
And yeah, so I kind of got my start running rivers up in Idaho and Wyoming and Utah. And been down here in Santa Fe since 2014.
Okay. And had you rode the Grand Canyon before?
No, I had been a passenger on a dory trip. And I had to hike out at Phantom.
Okay.
So I've backpacked a lot.
Okay.
In a canyon. So I've been down a lot of the side canyons to the river, but, you know, this was the first time I've seen, let's see, like Horn Creek. I'd never actually put eyes on Horn Creek.
Rapids. Okay. And lava and I'm thinking crystal and... upset then.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of those that you can't. So.
And what kind of boat were you rowing?
I just bought a 16-foot cataract.
Okay.
In mid-July.
Right.
And originally thought I was buying it and taking it out for its test run on a San Juan trip, but that fell through.
Okay.
So, a little different, but when the opportunity to join a Grand Canyon trip came up, it's like, yeah, why not? And I waffled between that and my inflatable kayak, and I decided to go for the raft. So,
nice. So let me get this straight. The boat was new to you, and the river was new to you.
Correct.
Nice. Okay.
Yes. As far as rowing goes, yes.
Yeah, as far as rowing goes. What day did you put in?
Our launch date was the 14th of August.
Okay, so 14th of
16 days.
August.
Yeah.
What sort of flow did you have?
Well, when we got together the night before day zero and got everything prepared, our lead boatman told us that the flows had gone up and we were looking at like, you know, high flows of like in the 20s.
Okay.
And so I'd been watching the graphs for, you know, the days leading up to it. It had been holding pretty steady at like 16.
Okay.
And so I thought, oh, well, that's cool, I guess. More water for house and you know, some of the others that need it, like bedrock. And so we all put in with that in our minds that our peak was at 20 and, you know, our lows were getting down to, you know, the 16, 17. So we got off the river and learned that our flows had actually been like 16 and I think 8.5 or 8.6.
Okay.
So that's a lot less water than we thought we had.
Okay.
And I know a lot of us ran our rapids based on what we thought the flows were.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. We did some scouting, but not as much as I would have wanted.
Okay.
So,
Well, why don't you take us through the trip? Let us, talk us through it. What did you scout? What didn't you scout? Where'd you camp? What basically do you remember about the journey running from 8.5 to 16?
Sure. So we start off by not scouting Badger.
Okay.
Which, the whole, I was feeling quite anxious when, the morning of the first day, obviously, I've been paddling here on my home river, so the Rio Grande section, the race course on the Rio Grande up by Taos, and the day run on the Rio Chama, which, they're class 2, class 3, sometimes mm-hmm. class 4. And I knew that it would be big. I just, actually Cathedral Wash was kind of eye-opening. It's like, wow, this riffle is bigger than any of my home rivers during their high flows.
Okay.
getting to Badger, I knew it was coming up, and, it's like, hey, are we scouting this? And we don't need to scout it. It's like, oh, no, because I've been religiously watching over and over again Mark Hunt's Rowing the Grand Canyon YouTube. I have to say that was really helpful.
Good.
And, he says, should you scout Badger? The answer is maybe. So I was like, I definitely want to scout. So we didn't. And I knew where the hole was going to be, and it's like, okay, I just have to stay to the left of that and be ready to, go forward or backward. And it was fine, but it was a lot bigger than I expected.
Okay.
So that set the stage for me. Like, okay, in my head, everything is 10 times bigger than what you're thinking it's going to be. And by the time we got down to House Rock, we scouted that, and I was really glad we did. And, standing there, it's like, okay, I see what I need to do. I see where the line that I have in my mind is just, that's the one that was recommended, Mark recommends in his instructional, and okay, that's what I'm going to do. And it was fine. That cat is really nimble.
Okay.
And they get a little bit, they can get tossed around a little more than I think the turbos can. But, once I got that out of my way, there was less anxiety, definitely adrenaline. My heart, I could be walking up to a scouting platform, wherever it was, and, I could count my pulse up under my chin.
did you, because the water was, it's funny to say, because the water was high, which is kind of a joke, for 8 to 16,
yeah.
but because the water was higher than 5 to 8, it would have been going fast enough so that you might have run house toward the end of your first day. Or did you run it the next morning?
We ran it the next morning.
The next morning. Okay, so the water was back down low again. All right.
Yeah, the water was lower.
And did you scout the right side or left side?
We scouted left side.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And so far everyone else has had good runs and...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. We had a clean trip up, no flips until 2:09.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Don't want to rush things here. All right, so down through House, and that was good. Then on your way through the Roaring Twenties did you scout anything in there or just run everything?
We just ran everything, and again, the only one I had in my mind that I got to be really paying attention to, was Georgie, and I didn't find the hole particularly grabby. I scooched right around to the left of it, well clear of the big rock down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
None of us had any problems, but it was punch coming down into that, I felt, at least in my cat. I didn't notice the 18-foot gearboats behind me, anybody taking a particularly big bounce at the bottom, but I felt like I did.
Okay.
But, it's a small one that's being a lighter raft.
Right. So your boat being a little lighter would have been tossed about a little more than a heavier craft. Sure.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Did you have a passenger with you?
I did not.
Okay. So then your boat's even lighter still.
Even lighter still, yeah.
All right. Okay. So down through the 20s, then there's going to be days of flat water until you get the Quaggan or something like that. Oh, it's going to be a while. What was your weather like there, monsoon season?
So we had probably, I would say, maybe 2 days of monsoonal-like weather, but only one monsoonal event. And I was almost disappointed. I was really looking forward to seeing all the pour-offs, running and everything. And I know they did, but it was in the middle of the night because we all listened to it.
Oh, okay.
We got heavy rain when we stopped at Phantom to refill our water.
Okay.
And there was some rock fall going on there. And the south side, there was, I'm not sure what that little pour-off is right downstream of the Black Bridge, but it started pouring off.
Hmm.
And then that night, we had, sprinkles off and on. And then the next night, we just finished dinner, and we looked upriver, and there was a squall coming down the canyon. It was just, obliterating everything.
Hmm.
So I ran for my tent. And the disc crew, whipped everything together as fast as they could, and we dropped the shelter down over the kitchen, and everyone, holding their gear down. We had one family that had to flatten their tent and lay on top of it to keep it from blowing away. We almost lost the key to the Groover. It was exciting.
Okay.
And then I was sitting in my tent, just sort of with a foot in each corner, my hands spread across the wall in the back, keeping it from flattening in the wind. And then it, came and it went, and then hot and muggy for the rest of the trip. That was it.
Okay. So by the time you were below, certainly below Georgia, below 24.5 mile, and 24 mile, had you made friends with your boat by then?
Oh yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I thought I had that. It ended up being, I think it's weight for me. I'm not a big person, so, and even, if you're a big, powerful person, you're not overpowering that river.
You've
got to finish your ground. So that was a plus. I could make quicker maneuvers than some of the bigger boats could. But once one of those big gearboats gets moving, they get moving fast. I didn't have the extra water line or the extra mass. So I did get bumped around a couple times by other boats. We weren't sticking to our running order very well. I think part of that was just the group dynamic. But, Sock Dollinger, I got your hands right, and then all of a sudden I felt like it was up on one tube. rogue random wave that popped me up on my side for just a brief moment. I got bumped out of my seat, and I levered back in. I kept a hold of my oar.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I got tossed around a little more, but once I knew that was going to expect that, I learned how to stop. It was, by the end, I came to really appreciate that little chat.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Hance. I'm assuming you scouted on the right.
Oh no.
Okay.
We're all feeling in, and we're watching our lead boatman go to the left, and we're all like, why are we going to the left? What are we doing? Because we thought the flows were higher, he wanted to run the sneak line that's to the left.
Okay.
We got out, and scouting on that left side is not good. You can't see the whole thing.
Right.
Like, I I have no idea what was going on, maybe 50, 60 yards below the duck pond. You couldn't
okay.
see anything.
All right.
So one other person followed our lead boatman's line. And looking at it from the shore right there, like it's a big pour over, and then it's just rocks. And I didn't want to bust an oar. So there was another boatman that I talked to there in a group, and I want to do the right one. He says, yeah, I'm going to as well. So that meant we had to get in, push out, and then basically do this huge curving backup maneuver to get up far enough so that we could line up. And then, because I wanted to hit it with a downstream ferry, I think Rob went in nose first, he pushed, and he's experienced. He had no problem. I kind of knew, I knew where the pilot rock was. I got through there, missed the hole. I got into the duck pond, which I thought was kind of choppy, but it was there. And I got through it okay. And all of a sudden, I look up and I'm out at the bottom. It's like, okay, well, that worked.
All right.
But it was kind of stressful. Not, because that wasn't what I had intended to do. You know, I had in my mind I was going to do that run on the right, and so not being able to scout and being able to see the whole thing would have been really
right.
reassuring.
Yeah. How did the boats on the left do?
We watched. I got to see one of them go in there, and I was looking at him over my shoulder, and that. It looked like it was a pretty good pop when they went over that pour over.
Okay.
They did fine, and no one lost any oars or passengers, but it's definitely, it was a good, like a 4 or 5 foot drop off of that pour over and then into the wash down below.
Right, right. And then the clunk and bump begins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, so then down to Sock Dowager, which you know, is just, you run your entrance and off you go, and
yeah.
But there's some big stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah. There was. And I was doing fine. It's like, okay, this is big. There aren't any big rocks in here. I got to worry about just tee up, tee up, tee up. And then something, like, basically just popped my left front tube, and that kind of canted me up a little bit. And I wasn't expecting it, so I kind of, like, but pushed to the side out of my seat. I have a high back tractor seat.
Okay.
And I will credit my Gilman grips. I put Gilman grips on my oars before this trip.
All right.
I was able to hang on to those and pushed. I think I pushed my right oar and it levered me back into my seat. If I had just like the hot dog shaped oar grips, I probably would have just, my hands would have flipped off. Would probably gone out. But yeah, they were great.
And do you row with open oar locks or pins and clips?
Oar right.
Oar rights. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could probably go with open locks. Those grips, I really appreciated, you know, you can really feel your oars. So I might try going, like, flip them over and reverse them and see. They'd be easy enough to switch.
Huh? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so bounced about a little bit. Where did you camp along the way? Do you remember that, to get down to Phantom?
We were picking up a passenger, so we camped at Commission.
Okay, camped at Commission.
And, yeah, Grapevine, just above Grapevine Rapid. On River Lack. Upstream of the cremation Zoroaster camp.
Yeah, yeah. So the Grapevine camp there.
Yep.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's actually one of my favorite spots.
And how did your exchange go?
Well, we got a text from our exchange passenger that he had COVID, so we just filled our water jugs, waved by to Phantom, had our lemonade, and sent our postcards, and then got back in. We never saw him.
So your hiker inner didn't hike in?
Our hiker inner did not hike in.
Okay.
No, he did not.
All right. So you got water and headed on your way.
Headed on.
All right.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah. Okay.
into the rain.
And into Horn Creek, which you had never run. Did you scout Horn?
Oh, yes. Okay. We did.
On the right or the left?
I asked, on the right.
Okay.
Scrambled up onto that bench.
Uh-huh.
And that was where our less than tight running order came into play. I said, okay, I'll go third. We had six rafts. I said, oh, I'll go third. So I push out, and I split the horn.
Okay.
Thinking there was more water than there was, but it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
The left horn was really not sticking up, so there was water going over it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I'm all lined up, I'm ready to go, and then all of a sudden I hear someone yell, bump, and I look over my shoulder, and it's one of the other rafts, and it like bumps the back of my right tube and spun me clockwise. So now I'm going into Horn sideways with my butt facing the wall, and the momentum pushed me into the wall. So then my cat rode up onto the wall, and all I can think is like, okay, here we go, this is it. So I'm getting ready to take a swim, and then it just sort of settled back down and went back out, and then it was in the tailways, and then it was fine.
So this is the wall on the left at the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just right up, yeah. So it all worked out. It was not a pretty run, but I stayed upright.
Good for you. Well done.
Yeah. I didn't do it. The cat did. I was like complete, like I said, I just like, okay, here I go. This is it. It's happening really quickly. But it just kind of came down off the wall on its own and went on.
Okay. All right.
And then I was really careful from that point on to give myself as much space as I could. I mean, you can only do so much with people coming up behind you, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then you have Granite and Hermit and Crystal, Boucher, mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
How did your journey go through there?
Granite was fine. I just kind of, yeah, we scouted that one, and we scouted Crystal.
Okay.
But Hermit and Boucher, we just ran them. And is it the 10th wave in Hermit that if it's over 20, it can be kind of,
yeah,
pushy.
It can be munchy,
so
down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had that in my mind that,
okay,
I was running it at much higher water. So I get into the first one. It's like, okay, one and two and three. And okay, I'm getting close to this big one. I'm going to bust out of the wave train now. So I got myself off the wave train and went around it, and I probably would have been fine. But those were the biggest waves I have ever rode. that was a roller coaster ride.
Nice.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was fun.
Good.
Yeah.
And then Crystal, did you go right or left? And then did you go right or left around the rock garden below?
I went right both ways.
Okay.
And scouting that was, we went up a little bit to look down on it, and then went down. I went right down to where the tongue is, the lateral that formed that tongue, and I picked the boulder that I needed to look for, because
okay,
I did the downstream ferry into that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like, okay, when this rock is on my shoulder, I've got to start pulling this way, and I managed to not get into the rocks enough to bounce myself, and it only lasted a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
I look up, and the hole is going past my nose, and then, like, out to the right, and I just stayed to the right of the rock garden. Everyone was down, eddied out, waiting.
Okay.
It was perfect.
Excellent.
I was pretty happy with that.
I'm always in a rubber boat, if I'm pinwheeling off of the right shore, I don't feel too terribly bad.
Yeah.
So I'm, yeah, where I want to be,
pull,
I'm just,
pull, pull.
You know, I'm just kind of,
yeah,
doing slow circles, banging into things, but I'm good. I'm over there.
And I'm not in that hole.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all good.
Stay out of that hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then anything you remember remarkable about the jewels down there through Ruby and that world?
that ended up being a really long day, so I think we may have actually pushed ourselves over 30 miles that day.
Okay.
It was, oh no, that was the next the day before that.
Camps down there, you know, Bass, of course, is much desired, and then there's Hotowda, and there's Parkinson's Inscription, and then, 110 down around the corner below Shinamu.
Yeah. So, let's see, on day 10, Blowhorn 2, so that day was the day we ran Granite, Crystal, and Ruby today. So that was all one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed at a campsite called Shady Grove.
Oh, Shady Grove. Okay, sure. On the right. Yeah.
That was when our squall hit us.
Ah.
And I had my tent up on a little sandy bench, and another couple had their tent down the sandy bench. And when we woke up after that, our sandy bench had been bifurcated, and there was a gully between our tents. And then one on the other side of my tent. So I kind of woke up on a little sand island.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably, yeah, it was interesting. And then our boats were, like, high and dry in the morning. So that camp, it's a nice small camp.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then the next day we went from there to Olo. That was a long day.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was a really long day. And we had Bedrock and Dubendorf that day.
Did you get a chance to stop at Elf's Chasm? Did you get a chance to stop at Deer Creek?
Did.
Or, okay.
We did. We stopped at both. I filled my solar shower at Deer Creek because at this point the water was, it looked like red chili. So any opportunity to tank up with any semi-clear water, we did. And both of them were running clear.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So that was, yeah. And by the time we got to Deer Creek, it was already sunny and warm, so.
Okay.
It was nice, yeah. And then from there, we did Tuck Up. We went down to Tuck Up the next day.
Okay. How was Dubendorf?
Punchy, but it was fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and, you know, I would get to the end of the day and like, wow, that rock, you know, there was a lot of big hits in there. And everyone else was like, no, it was fine. Like, yeah, but you're rowing an 18-foot tugboat. Bedrock was fine. I knew, again, I had in my head the line that I would probably want to take, and I just needed to see it in person. It's one thing to watch a video.
Right.
That gets you an idea of what you need to do, and, you know, I just had Mark's voice in my head, you know, the line you're going to be pulling is going to look weird, but trust it, and mm-hmm. Okay, so I just went in there backwards, and I think there was only two of us that ran downstream ferries on that.
Uh-huh. Did anybody do the right side clunk and bump at Bedrock?
I kind of cut close to the cobbles at the very top.
Uh-huh.
And then the current kind of pushed me back. And by the time I was two-thirds of the way past Bedrock itself, I was pulling to get away from that wall.
Right.
I kind of went through the whole thing just sort of with my nose facing Bedrock just to pull away from it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any problems, so nobody ended up going left, which was good.
That's good. Yep.
One close call, I think he actually may have bumped the nose of it and then got spun to the right.
Okay, good.
But, yeah, it could have been worse.
That's a winner. Did you scout that?
We did.
Okay, good. All right.
Then I thought we did. Then...
Yeah.
You know, after that, we spent a few hours hiking up Havasu and lounged, napped on the boat.
150 miles.
And the water.
Did you run right or left at Upset?
I went left.
Okay.
Yeah. And stayed off the wall, so I was happy.
Good, good, good.
I kept looking for the little magic window keyhole at the bottom, and I never, I don't know if I must have gone through it, because I didn't go in the hole, but...
Like, if you didn't go in the hole, you did just fine. There's no problem.
Okay,
there.
Yeah. I'm out of the rapids. Like, okay, well, I guess that went well.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Onward.
Onward. Next one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then you're in Havasu a little bit, and then on to Lava.
Yes. So we camped at, where did we camp? We camped at Cove, I think.
Okay.
Is it Cove or no? We camped. I think we did. Cove to Parachute. We camped at Parachute. Is Parachute after Lava?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we camped at Cove.
Okay.
And we got to Lava pretty early in the morning, which is what we all wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And scouting the, and it's, but by the time I got to Lava, I think I was over my anxious, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. It was like, okay, Lava's tomorrow. It is what it is. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
So
good.
Everybody was in camp, Lava, and their passengers are like, oh, how bad is the hike? I'm going to hike around it. I was like, well, that's a lot of confidence in your boatman. Stop and think about what it is you're saying. And you know, it's like, are you worried? I'm like freaked out. And what are you going to do? It's like, I don't know. I'm just going to go look at it and then do it. I'm going to do the right run. And we got out and hiked up and scouted it. We spent probably more time scouting that one than anything else.
Okay.
But, I mean, looking at it, it's like, okay, there's the little bubble line. I'm going to park my boat on that and drift along to the end of it and just start pushing. And it all worked out. And Kahuna was big, but I stayed in my seat.
Good, yeah.
I didn't get ridden up onto the cheese grater, just right. Popped out and went around the corner, and then we got it all collected down at below and then stopped at Tequila Beach. And one young woman on one of the other rafts, she decided she was going to time it to see how long it really took.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through in 15 seconds.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, so it wasn't that bad. And it went fast, but it was fine. Nobody went last.
That's good, because our timing is 14 seconds. So we're not too far off there. All right, good.
Okay, yeah. And honestly, I think if I had to pick a favorite rapid, I think that one's probably it, just because of how good it felt to do it.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very fun. Okay, and then did you take out a diamond or did you go down to Pierce?
We took out a diamond.
Okay. So then there's 209. There's always the hole at 209. Haven't flipped yet? Well, you have one more chance at that.
The rafts that flipped, they were small. They were 15'6", and they had been sporting around like a water bug the entire trip. They were sneaking through little places that no one else could fit, and they were just having fun. And I don't know, it was really hot that day, so I think we were in 209. They thought, they were convinced they were in 205.
Okay.
And I think none of us even really noticed that we'd gone through 205, but... Okay. I'm looking at the terrain, it's like, getting ready for 209, and I had in my head, because I read the descriptions in the morning before we launch, but I know what, like, okay, 209, there's a hole, lower middle part, look out for it. And so I did, and it's like, I go through the tongue, it's like, oh, yep, there's a hole, squirt around to the left, and I was fine.
Okay.
I was the second to the last raft. Again, this is our facing running order issue. Everyone else was a good quarter mile down.
Oh, okay. So there pretty spread out by then.
Yeah. There's me and one person in a spud, a tiny ducky, and then this raft. I get through. I'm like, there's sort of a bend and it's flatter, mm-hmm. and I hear like a squeak. I look back and I see the belly of this raft just below that hole. It's like, oh no. So I put on the brakes and I get back up, and there's almost an eddy, so I was able to get back upstream. There's a little beach, and the Bucky, he's swam it as well, so he collects himself, gets back in his little craft, and then he comes over to where I am, and the raft, the currents is sort of swirling the raft towards us, so I got my throw bag out, and I threw it to one, the passenger, and he grabbed it, and we pulled them in, and I was like, well, we weren't expecting that. There's not supposed to be anything in that rapid. It's like, no, the description says there's a big hole. I'm like, no, no, this is 205. I don't think so. But anyway, long story short, they didn't have slip lines.
Okay.
So we rig up my throw rope to act as a slip line. Okay. And luckily, good. It only took two people to flip that little boat.
Great.
By this time, the rest of the group has noticed that we're nowhere to be seen. Someone comes hoofing it up over the ridge. They cut across, and we waved them off. It's like, we'll be down there in a minute. But yeah, that was our only slip on the whole trip, and our only unintentional swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And a nice quick recovery, and you're on your way again.
Yeah, and we're on our way. Nothing got... Well, we did lose a water bottle on that little incident.
Okay.
That was about it.
Excellent. So, Shelley, what advice would you have to give to a petite female rower who has never rowed the Grand Canyon before?
You're stronger than you think you are.
Okay.
If you want to scout a rapid, talk to, and you're not the tripper, talk to them and insist.
Okay. Talk to them and insist. Okay.
Insist, yeah. If you don't feel comfortable reading and running something, make that clear.
Okay.
And pay attention to your spacing and time.
To, to the...
yeah,
that's
to the
really
raft.
Common. Below Havasu, below Lava Boy, you know, it's like... You get around a bend and you run a couple miles and you got another curve coming up and you look and you just see the nose of the boat come around as you make your curve and you go, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did get stuck on a cobble bar for about 5 minutes. And I had been left behind. I was like, oh, great. Am I going to spend the night here until the water comes back up?
Mm.
But I
where was that cobble bar?
Back and, it was below. Is it below 209? It's in that neighborhood. It's
okay.
Down there.
Mm-hmm. There's a great sieve of 194 or something like that.
That might have been.
You've got to go way right or way left, and if you kind of dwaddle down the middle, it'll park you.
Yeah, and we all split. Everyone was splitting, and was like, okay, the left looks better, but I just didn't start my pull. Soon
no.
enough.
Okay, sure.
And I think there was like the one rock that could have stuck me.
Mm, all right.
But yeah, it was fine. I just sort of shifted around and got an oar in and kind of applied some leverage. Eventually I came off of it, but
awesome.
It could have been worse.
Well, those are a couple of really good points about scouting and about the running order, keeping things not glue tight, but within easy line of sight and voice communication. And,
yeah.
Very good.
And, I mean, don't go into it thinking, I'm small, I can't do this, I don't weigh enough to move this boat. You're not, it's not a matter of your brute strength or size. It's just, you're not overpowering or whatever you're working with it. It's dancing with it. You know,
nice.
Like I said, you're capable of doing more than you think you are.
Very good.
It's like rock climbing. You're stronger than you know you are. You believe you are.
Nice. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this before we wrap up this V-Wave for the day?
If you have an opportunity to take a Grand Canyon river trip, do it, whether you're a passenger or you have a chance to row or paddle your own craft. The first time you set foot below the rim, it changes your life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other V-Wave discussion, is how is Grand Canyon River Running life-changing. But until then, let's go ahead and conclude this wonderful V-Wave podcast with Shelley Martin. Shelley, thank you so very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tom.